Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share with everybody that you know to get this message of truth spread throughout the world. Today, we're going to be talking about looking in your mate's phone. Is this good or is this bad? Is it right or is it wrong? There's a lot of people out there that would think that looking in your mate's phone is innocent. It's not a bad idea. It's not wrong at all. You know, well, when we become in a relationship, when we start a relationship, there is no more I, there's a we. And it's totally okay for me to look in there because there's no privacy in a relationship. Well, those ways of thinking are actually very toxic. Yes, there is no more I in the relationship. Oh, hold on, I misspoke. Let me restate that. There actually still is an I. I plus you equals we. Not I versus you. I plus you. I know that's not the proper English way of saying it, but you get what I'm trying to say. The proper English way would be you plus I. But the fact is that both of you make up the we. But so many people get lost in the relationship. They actually lose their own identity in the relationship. They become the relationship. That's not good. You shouldn't lose yourself in a relationship. Even if you're happily married, you should not lose yourself because that person fell in love with you and you fell in love with that person. So by default, who you are is important. It's what got you to where you are. Now, if being a lie is what got you to where you are, then guess what? It's going to come out. At some point, it's going to come out, and then it's just going to lead to your heartbreak. If you're the one that lied, you're going to get your heart broken more than you realize. Even if you're conning somebody, you're going to end up doing time. Something's going to happen where you're going to get hurt far more than the person you hurt. That's just kind of how karma works. But it's so important to not lose your own identity in the relationship. So there still is an I in your relationship. But your relationship should not hide behind you or be separate from who you are. It should be a complement to who you are, because your individual identity and your partner's individual identity make up the we that is the relationship. Now, looking in your partner's phone. Now, if you were asked to look into that phone, that's one thing. My fiance actually knows all my passwords for my phone, and she knows how to get into all that stuff. I showed her. She never asked, but I showed her because I trust her. And I also want her to be able to have that peace of mind knowing that the option's there if she ever chose to. But the beautiful thing is that my fiance trusts me. She doesn't go snooping around in my stuff because I don't give her a reason to. I don't go out there having women call me at all hours of the night and go leave the room and go try to talk to them. Anyone that calls my phone, I can answer right in front of my fiance. And I can have a conversation right in front of my fiance. I can read a text. I can read an email. And I never have to worry about or be scared about, oh crap, what is she going to think? I don't have to worry about that stuff. So one of the biggest problems that we often face is that we have this desire, this innate desire to look into the phone. We're out there looking into the phone of our partner. Why are you being a detective? Why aren't you just being their partner? Well, maybe you might justify it by thinking, well, I will want to make sure that he's not cheating on me. Sweetheart, if he's going to cheat, he's going to cheat. Brother, if she's going to cheat, she's going to cheat. That's just kind of how it goes. If they're going to cheat, there's nothing you can do about it. But if you honestly are suspicious or suspect your partner of cheating, why are you with them? If you have this urge to always look in their phone or look in their phone, I mean, I leave my phone alone with my fiance many times. And she's still, like, I'm sure she has, you know, she has the desires to open up the phone and look in it. You know, she's had some trauma in her life. So those urges are direct reflection or direct link to that trauma. You know, but the fact is that she's not acting on it. She's not a private investigator. She's not Sherlock Holmes. She's not a detective. She's my partner, and she trusts me. And multiple times she's told me, babe, I don't want to look through your phone because I don't want to build trust that way. I want to build trust this way. It means so much to me. And it makes me want to just do all I can to make sure the very appearance of infidelity never comes up. I want to do my part to make sure that I'm always faithful, always loyal, and always doing what I'm supposed to be doing to be honorable to my fiance. Additionally, if you honestly feel the urge to look into your partner's phone, you got to ask yourself a question. Is this my shortcoming that makes you want to do this? Is this because of a problem in me? Do I feel the need to look into my partner's phone because it's something that I got to work on within me? Or is it their fault? I mean, if they're sitting there and giving you reasons to want to look in their phone, like they're all, like you catch them in the, you're just happen to go do laundry, you'll be doing something in the house, and then you walk across the hallway and you see your partner whispering on the phone. And then when you walk in the room, all of a sudden they stop talking, or you know, they change their tone, or they start talking about something completely unrelated, or you just feel that you are the elephant in the room, which is stopping them from being able to talk normal. If you see something like that happening, yeah, I get it. I get the reason why you want to look in your partner's phone. And honestly, I feel that would be justified. You know, that if you, I mean, here, let me back up. You do not have the right to look in someone's phone. That is their personal property. If you bought it, then yeah, you do have the right to look into their phone. If it's yours, if you bought it, it's in your name. If you bought it as a gift, it's not in your name. It's not yours. You bought it as a gift. It's just kind of one of those catch-22s. You should not look in someone's phone if the offer is not extended to you. If you are bothered by that scenario I gave earlier of your partner like whispering or changing their tone or, you know, doing something like that, I get it. You should confront them and say, look, why are you acting this way? Why do you always change your tone when I walk into the room? Who are you talking to? You know, why do you talk so different, you know, when you're on the phone whispering? What do you need to whisper about? You know, if those things are causing you to raise flags, you know, I get it. But the fact is that you shouldn't just invade the privacy of somebody just because of a suspicion that you have. First, you need to analyze yourself and think, is this suspicion coming from trauma other guys have caused me or other people have caused me? Or is it because I have low self-esteem or low self-confidence? Like, am I the reason why I want to look in the phone? You shouldn't build trust off of proving yourself right. Like, you shouldn't have to look in your partner's phone and see that they're not talking to somebody else just to trust them. If you don't trust your partner, you shouldn't be with them. You should not waste your time because it does nothing to both of you guys in the better. Like, it actually does more damage. It hurts you. You're going to age a lot faster stressing out thinking, he's cheating on me. Every time he goes out, he's cheating on me. Why do that to yourself? Why not free yourself from somebody who doesn't deserve you? But remember, you need to be assured that you're not being paranoid by actually looking at yourself. Is this something that you normally do? If looking through the phone of your partner is something you normally do, maybe that's something you need to work on. If it's something you don't do, it's something that's rare to you, that all of a sudden you've never had this desire, you never had this urge like this, but all of a sudden you do, then yeah. Pay attention to that. That's probably a gut feeling for something. But sometimes gut feelings really aren't gut feelings. They're your own paranoia thinking, I need to see, I need to see, I need to see. I'm telling you, when it comes down to cheating, guys can be very prideful and to think that when they are cheating on their partner's not going to be smart enough to figure out that they change the name of the girl they're talking to a guy's name. They think that the girl's not going to figure that out. But sometime, at some point, they're going to be dumb enough to leave their phone open and their partner is going to see a very sensual message from Robert, who just so happens to be a very beautiful brunette woman, sending a very provocative picture. Like, wow, did Robert have a sex change, or like, you know, what's going on? Why all of a sudden is Robert sending you pictures of these women? And then all of a sudden the next text message comes up and it's like, I wish you were in my bed right now, or something like that. Like, dude, you got something you want to tell me? Because Robert's talking crazy. And then, you know, they're probably going to give you some BS lie, like, oh no, that's just my boy playing around, you know, he always talks like that. Then you're going to give him the nice little question, let me see the whole strand of messages, and his eyes are going to give you the answer of what you're looking for. You don't need to check his phone. If my fiance were to ask me, babe, can I see your phone? I'd be like, you don't even have to ask, my love. You just go grab it. Why do I do that? Because of the fact that being faithful for me is intoxicating. It is so addictive, in my opinion. This is just me. I'm not saying how it should be with everybody. But for me, being faithful is very addictive, because I love the freedom of not worrying about who's on the other side of my phone calling me. I never have to worry about a text message coming out and being like, uh-oh, that shouldn't have been there. I never have to worry about that. I never have to worry about what my fiance is going to find in my phone. I never have to worry about what she's going to hear if I'm talking to someone on speaker. I never have to worry about those things because I don't mess around with other women. I have one woman and I love her. Now, I wasn't always that way. I was a lying cheat. I used to be a dog. I slept with so many women out there, and I realized, it took me like 20 years to realize that the reason why I did those things is because I didn't love myself. I didn't value myself. You know, I started thinking about, you know, different characteristics of my value. And I realized, like, I had this idea. It's like, you know, not to get scriptural or religious or anything like that, but like God gave me this image. And he said, because, you know, a lot of guys love cars. He's like, let me ask you a question, Ross. I was like, what's up, God? You know, we talk like that. And I asked him, or he asked me, if you had a beautiful brand new Lamborghini and you saw this gorgeous woman outside, would you let her drive it just because she's gorgeous? And I smiled and like, no. He's like, why? And I'm like, it's a $500,000 car. I'm not about to let a woman drive that car just because she's beautiful. Now, if she's like Danica Patrick, she's a professional driver. She's got an incredible track record in driving. Yeah, and I know her really well. Yeah, I don't mind. You know, we have that kind of relationship. It's good. But just, I'm not going to let someone drive my car just because she's pretty. And then he asked me this question very calm. Then why do you let so many women ride you? Aren't you worth more than a Lamborghini? That question was a gut check. I realized that I didn't love myself. So therefore, I could not love anyone else because I didn't love myself first. But once I started loving myself, I started being faithful. I didn't want to cheat. When I was in a toxic relationship with a woman who I was really good to them, I was honorable to them, and they cheated on me or, you know, mistreated me or took me for granted, I didn't invest time begging them to treat me right, because I deserved to be treated right. I knew my worth. That's one of the critical, important parts of loving yourself, is if you don't love yourself, you will settle. And you're not going to settle up. You always settle down. That's what settling is. It's accepting something that's beneath you because either you don't want to fight for something better, or you think that's the best you'll get. I ended a number of relationships with women who did not deserve me. And I know it sounds arrogant, but it's not meant to sound arrogant. It's not meant to sound conceited. It's meant to sound realistic. I'm giving all of myself to these people. I'm being honorable to them. I'm being open with them. I'm being trusting with them. And they're not putting in the relationship as well. They're not contributing and investing into the relationship. Everything's on their terms. Nothing's ever on our terms. It's their way or the highway. I'm not doing that. I don't believe in the lie that happy wife, happy life, or your wife is always right. I don't believe in that. What right does the woman have to always be happy and right, and the man is just this miserable slave? No woman in her right mind would want to feel like a miserable slave. So it's not fair that men should have to submit to doing every single thing their wife wants just to make her happy. That doesn't work that way. You both are a team. You work to be happy together. That's the key. If my babe is tired, she comes home, I'll give her a foot rub. She doesn't have to ask me to give her a foot rub. I've given her hand massages. I've given her like a number of things. Like, you know, she cooks for me, I cook for her. Like, I go out and get some ice cream or something, I'll bring her something back. I'm always thinking of things to do because I would want somebody to do that to my daughter if I had one. I would want them to be like, I would want them to treat my daughter like the queen or princess that she deserves to be. Not by entitlement, but that this is who she is. So she should be treated like royalty because she serves her king, and her king should serve her back. Now, why do I say all this? Because it may seem like it's off topic, but it's not. It's a really, really critical point in understanding why so many people look through the phones of their partners. A lot of times, it's because of them, not because of their partner. It's because they have shortcomings, because they lack self-respect or self-love, or maybe they just think that they're not good enough. So maybe there's work that needs to be done within them, that the desire to look into their partner's phone is because of a flaw they have. Now, on the other hand, they may have this desire to look through their phone because their partner is feeding them a bunch of BS lies. That's where you have to be realistic with yourself. I'm telling you, if you check your partner's phone, I mean, if you can't do something when they're not there, you know what's wrong. My fiance could look through my phone right next to me and I'll be all right. I'm not going to be like, oh. Because honestly, it's probably the best thing to do. Like, if you're going to look through your partner's phone, it's probably the best thing to do it right in front of them. Because I'm telling you, if there's something in there you shouldn't see and you're checking in the phone right in front of your partner is going to get really handsy with his own phone or her own phone. They're going to try to take, let me see something real quick. They're going to try to take it away from you and take control of the situation to stop you from looking in their phone. So that's just, you know, food for thought. Because I've experienced that with one of my exes. One of my exes, I saw a message come up across her screen and she like blocked it off. Like she like moved it off the screen real fast. But I happened to see the face of the guy and see a brief part of the message, which was very seductive. I'm like, interesting. So I said, may I see your phone? She's like, why? I was like, let me see your phone, please. And she like really, really reluctantly gave it to me. And she thought by deleting one of the apps that she had used that I wouldn't be able to see. And I happened to find the app, and it was actually pretty easy too. And I happened to see these pictures that she had sent this guy, pictures that she had sent to me, pictures that no other guy should have saw. And then I saw pictures of this guy. I'm like, that's not what my body looks like. Why is another guy sending these pictures and you're sending these pictures to him? And she's like, and she just stopped answering. I tried everything I could in that relationship, but at some point you have to realize you have to love yourself. And if somebody else isn't going to love you, they're not worthy of you. You should not feel like a detective in your relationship. If you feel like a detective, either there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with you. If you feel like a detective, it's either because of a shortcoming you have and you need to work on, or it's because you're not smart enough to leave or in the relationship. I think that's a nice summation of the two paths, because you should not feel like you have to look in the phone and be a detective with someone you trust and love. You trust and love your partner. Trust and love your partner. Don't sit there and be a detective looking through their phone every 5 seconds to prove, oh, if he's cheating, I'm gonna catch him. If they're cheating on you, it will come out. The interesting thing is, each one of those times where I caught my ex is cheating, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't doing any detective work. I wasn't looking for it. It just came to light. That's just kind of how it works. People who cheat once, yeah, they might get away with it. But the intoxication of cheating is one of those things that just, it keeps coming, because you don't satisfy love. Love is something you can't satisfy. It's something that just fills you. Lust is something that can't be satisfied. And people cheat because of lust. More often than not, it's a lustful reason why people cheat. So when they're cheating, you can't satisfy with sex. Sex doesn't satisfy you like deep intimacy satisfies you. For anybody who's ever had a relationship and made love and achieved full intimacy with their partner, they know the difference between a climax as a result of full and deep intimacy and just getting a quickie or just getting some really good sex. There's a big difference in the climax. I did not know that existed until I had met the right person and I had deep connected intimacy. And I was like, whoa, what the heck is this? This has never happened before. But I'm telling you, when you experience that, you don't want to cheat because you don't want to lose that. And again, intimacy, I know I haven't said that in this episode, but intimacy is not limited to physical sex. Intimacy is a deep connection. You can have intimacy by just sitting on a rocking chair while it's raining and holding your baby in your lap. That's intimacy. Intimacy is looking at the family that you both created and raised. Intimacy is sitting there and watching your baby change a diaper, whether that's your husband or your wife. By watching your partner help make your house into a home, that's intimacy. It's not limited to sex. It's the deep connection of knowing someone loves you more than themselves. So if you're with somebody and it feels like you can't trust that person, you have to ask yourself, am I doing something wrong? Or is this person doing something wrong? Don't stay with somebody just because of how much money they make or how beautiful they are or how good the sex is. Because I'm telling you, there is no level of sex that's stronger and better than deep physical intimacy. It's a feeling that you just can't imitate, can't be compared. Give your partner their privacy. Because if you take away their privacy, you're going to cause problems. Trust your partner. Remember that you plus them equals us. I plus you equals us. If you take away the I in a relationship, you're going to lose yourself in the relationship and you're going to toxify your relationship. And it's not worth it. That's such an important part of life, is teamwork. And remember, if you watch sports, you look at basketball, football, any sport out there, the team wins because they play together. But each individual position is important to play their position. Each individual who participates is extraordinarily important. And it's so critical that people don't forget that point. It's so important. And if you do, you're going to end up missing out. We got Jason on. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
What's going on, Ross? So I have experience with this. Should you look inside your partner's phone? Never. Under no circumstance, ever. That's my answer to the question.
You have experience? Like, what kind of experience have you had with it?
I've had my partners look at my phone.
How'd it make you feel?
Honestly, I didn't give a shit. But what followed their behavior was constant insecurity and speculation of fear of what I was doing instead of what they were doing. But I was listening to you, and it happens a lot. I won't say this all the time, but it does happen where those who are checking are usually doing something bad themselves already.
Ooh, that's a great point.
Because they don't. People are very predictable when it comes to that. If they're super clingy, that's the other alternative.
Mm-hmm.
They're so insecure because they're damaged by either bad relationships or bad upbringing. You know, they have a bad core sense of value of how relationships or how people treat each other. you know, respect boundaries. All I can tell you is that a lot more times than the majority, in my opinion, they were doing something bad. And they, it's kind of like a diversionary tactic, in my opinion, to not show what they're doing. But see, when it was done to me, I didn't really say anything right off the bat. I was just like, why the fuck would she do this? Like, I don't care. My phone's, go ahead. If you need to look at my phone or use it, go right ahead. I have nothing to hide. If I didn't want you, I'll cut you loose.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. But now generations, you know, the younger generations, I'm 49, they hold on to these bad moral codes of like accountability.
Ooh.
Instead of knowing who you really are with whom you are with.
Mm-hmm.
Because like for guys, I'll tell you right out, learn your fucking manners first. Learn your manners and uphold your manners and your character before you expect them. Because the standard will always be double and it will not be lenient towards your half. So you have to hold a resonance, a character that is not easily penetrated. So I would tell guys, mind your manners. And if you're not constantly having a shifting eye, don't be in a relationship if you like to look at other women. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Stop. If you feel insecure with her, just say, hey, look, you know what? I'm not vibing with this too well, and it sucks. You're checking my phone. What are you doing? Tell me what's really going on. Do you need to see a therapist? But if you can't tell them straight out, you're doing yourself a disservice, and the fallout, and we've heard stories like women have bashed guys' windows in under a false accusation.
Mm-hmm.
It's even shown in movies. What was it? Barbershop? Remember that scene where the girl took a baseball bat to a guy's car and it wasn't even his car that...
Yep. I remember that scene.
Like, you know, is this your car? Oh. Well, I'll be dead.
No, that's my car.
Yep. Or everybody just stood out there and goes like, dang, that sucks. No one tried to stop it though, too.
But to get back to the topic, if you feel so insecure, and trust me, I have got to the point where I wanted to look. I was like, man, if I do that, I'm just as bad as them.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is they break up, they find someone else, or I'd just be like, I don't want to call you anymore. I remember I told a girl, I just don't want to talk to you.
Sometimes it's what they need. Sometimes it's just a blunt, like,
and then
separation.
And what happened was they were trying to kiss mess. I'm all, no, don't call me no more. I just don't want to be with you. Why not? I just don't want to be with you. That's all you need to know. Because I didn't want to give them the explanation of telling them what I knew.
Mm.
To let them resolve with that, you know. Yeah. My time's about to expire, but thanks, Ross.
No problem. Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate you coming on, brother. I also just wanted, like, when I know when I used to cheat, and I talk about my cheating days as well, not to glorify them, because there's nothing to glorify about being unfaithful. There's really not. But I talk about it because of the wisdom I gained from learning the hard way, learning the hard, taking the hard path is what I did. And I really wish I would have, I didn't have a real father role model growing up. My dad was in prison since I was 9 years old. And, you know, I became a statistic at 9 years old, just another black kid with a dad in prison. That's what happened. And it really sucked to become that. And it took me so long to realize, and this is just a sidebar, but it took me so long to realize that I'm not defined by the color of my skin, but by my character. And people will often see my skin color before they see my character. So it is up to me to show my character so that my character outshines my skin color. So I went to that point to talk about, I learned the hard way. I didn't have a man to teach me how to be a man, that being a man is not about sleeping with as many women as you can. Being a man is about being faithful, being honorable, knowing yourself, being honest with yourself, meeting a good woman and being honorable to her. And Jason brings up a great point too when he said, that, you know, like I found, he said, I find out that a lot of the women who are doing that are, or people who are doing that were actually guilty of it themselves. I know I was when I was out there cheating. I wasn't looking through girls' phones, but I was picking fights. I was accusing them of being unfaithful, but it was me. It's just a tactic. It's like a magician. A magician does something with one hand to get you looking over there when the real trick is happening with their other hand. So they, people who are cheating are going out there because they're you can't escape your conscience. No matter who you are, you cannot outrun your conscience. Your conscience is like a very well-trained athlete. It doesn't get tired. It's not going to stop running after you. It's going to keep chasing you down until you face it. And then, you know, you gotta battle with it. If you let it win, or it's going to win. So what these people do to silence and pacify their conscience is add a lot of justification in there. They're looking for that message that they can use against you to justify their cheating way. Well, you're never home for me. You're always working. You're always working. You never come home. So yeah, I went out and I cheated on you because you're never home with me. You're always out working. And then logic comes in. You're like, wait a minute. I'm always working because you demand a very expensive lifestyle. You want a brand new car. You didn't want a used car. You wanted a brand new Mercedes-Benz. That costs almost $1,000 a month just to own that car, for the insurance, for the car note, for all the repairs, maintenance, everything on that thing. It cost me almost $1,000. So I had to take a second job because you refused to work. You want all these other cars and you want all this other luxury stuff. Yeah, I can't be here for you and also work. I can only be in one place at a time. So if you're willing to cut how much money you're spending, then yeah, I could be home with you a lot more. That is very often the case. The other part of the case is that there's often guys that just love working. They love their job. They love chasing money more than the girl. But that doesn't justify cheating. If you're lonely, if you're not being attended to, if your partner is ignoring you, then you have to ask yourself a question. Is there something else I can do to fix this relationship? Or is this it? And if this is it, is it time to leave? Because either you're going to accept that lifestyle and being ignored and just, you know, being a puppet that goes out whenever they feel like going out, or you can be a respected equal partner. But this, Jason also talked about the generation that's growing up right now. I agree with them. Like, I was just like, you know what? The generation that's growing out right now is so freaking entitled. It's not funny. When I was growing up, I learned to shake a hand. How many people know how to actually shake hands these days? How many of you have shaken hands with somebody and gotten a dead fish? And for those who know how to shake hands, they know what that phrase means. It's when somebody just puts a limp hand in your hand as you try to shake their hand. Or when I was taught to shake hands, I was taught you shake hands firm, whether you're male or female, you shake hands firm and you look the person in the eyes. If it's a woman, you give a firm handshake, but not as firm as you would do a man. You acknowledge her presence by looking her in the eye. You give her a more of a gentle handshake, but nonetheless, it's firm to acknowledge that person, to give them that respect. These days, people put their hand in your hand as if they're doing you a favor and don't even look at you. It's like, oh yeah, here, there you are here. I'm like, I'll throw their hand away. I'm like, never mind. I don't tolerate dead fish handshakes. I shake hands with people to show respect to them. And if you put a dead fish in my hand, you're not showing me respect. You are insulting me. I don't deal with that. I don't tolerate that. That's not okay. So people are so entitled these days, they feel that they have the right to look in your phone. And I'm not talking about people who have been married for years. I'm talking about people who like have been dating for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. They feel like because you start officially dating them, they have the right to look in your phone. That's you don't have the right to look in your partner's phone. That's their privacy, their phone. And it's just, it causes so many problems. Like Jason hit a lot of great points when he was just saying that it deteriorates after that. People start acting less involved in the relationship. You know, they're looking for you to be cheating. And when they don't find what they're looking for, then they get less involved, less love is showed, and less trust is there because they suspect you of something. Do you really want to be with someone who suspects you of cheating when you're not? Yeah, they might have a beautiful, beautiful face, and have you might have great sex. You might have they may have a great body, but is it really worth it? You're miserable. Other than that, like, sex is not. You're in a 24-hour period. You're not going to have sex for 24 hours. Even if you took a Viagra and a Blue Rhino and all kinds of extra supplements and stuff, you're not going to go that long. Unless maybe you're, you know, you're a very rare and gifted individual. But there's going to be a time where you're just going to, like, relax and go get something to eat, shower. Like, you're going to function throughout the day. And if the only high points of your life come, you know, circulate around having sex with your partner, you're not choosing the right partner. Sex is going to get old after a while. And then you're going to, what's left is just going to be your partner. Like, are they an amazing person or are they garbage? Like, do they have a crappy personality? If you have to feel like a detective in a relationship, it's not worth it. If you're suspecting your partner of doing something and it just won't leave you alone, you need to make a choice. And maybe that choice is not to look through their phone. Maybe that choice is to say, I don't feel like I trust you. I don't know, maybe it's something with me, but I don't feel like I trust you because you do these things. You don't give me good answers. I think it's time for me to leave. Have the courage to leave. Whether you're male or female, have the courage to leave. But the thing is that the biggest point in this is that nobody should invade the privacy of somebody else. You need to give your partner the respect you would want. You may, like me, I'm very open. My fiance can check my phone anytime she wants. Like I said earlier, she can do that anytime she wants. I've offered that to her. I have nothing to hide. And I also extend it because it keeps me accountable. It makes me remember, like, if there's ever an opportunity for some girl to do something with me, I will always remember that my phone is open to my fiance and I'm not taking that right. So it further dissuades me from making choices that I will regret in the future. I have fail safes in the way. You know, I have fail safes in the way to make sure that I maintain my current path of being faithful and being honorable. You know, if anyone else would like to chime in, I'd love to hear your opinions on this because, you know, there's lots of perspectives that people have when it comes down to looking in their phone. Some people think that, yeah, you should, because if you're doing this, then it's going to come out. Other people think, no. What other opinions do we have out there? Feel free to chime in. You're definitely welcome to chime in. I would love to hear your opinions. I'd love to hear what other people think about looking in the partner's phone or having the phone looked into. Especially women. Like, I really love to hear the opinions of women because there's some good opinions. There's some who are pro and some who are against. You know, I know a lot of guys are really not in, they're quite opposed to having someone look in their phone. I know people who've been locked up hate the idea of someone looking in their phone just because they're like, dude, like, I've had no privacy for so long. I would like to have some type of privacy. You know, I don't want to have my privacy taken away from me just because I'm with somebody. That's not fair. And people lose themselves in relationships just because they're happy. They're in a relationship, so they often lose themselves. Don't lose yourself. Don't lose who you are to please somebody else. If you do that, you're only failing yourself. And you're failing your partner. You are an equal partner, and you should be at peace when you enter your home. When you are with your partner, you should feel like you're at peace. If you don't, chances are you're doing something wrong. Either you're at fault or you're not making the right choices. And sometimes those choices are, should I stay with them or leave them? Both men and women are guilty of invading each other's privacy. But I'm telling you, if somebody's cheating on you, at some point, it's going to come out. You don't have to look for it. It's going to come out. When you're doing the laundry, you're going to find a number that shouldn't have been there. Or a message is going to pop up. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen. So I really encourage everybody to respect your partner's privacy. Don't go around looking for something. It's it's gonna come out if it's there. Trust your partner, and if you don't, it's maybe it's time to end the relationship, and that's okay. Just because two people love each other doesn't mean they're right for each other. That's a critical truth people need to remember. So as I end this episode, I just want to thank everybody for the time that they took to spend time with me. It was great hearing the opinions of others. It was great hearing Jason's opinion and his feedback. And for those of you who don't know, I'm the author of Soul Guardian, the book by RJ Kurtz. That's my pseudonym. I write under RJ Kurtz. You can find it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. I'm also the host of the podcast Real Talk with RJ, available anywhere podcasts are sold or listened to as opposed to. But I encourage you to listen, check it out. And I hope you enjoyed what you heard. I hope you enjoyed the time with me, because I definitely enjoyed the time with you guys. Thank you so much for spending time with me on Real Talk with RJ. Signing out.